So let's all get our Bibles out and we'll share a scripture or two. Just a verse, a couple of verses here and there. I want to just share a thought or two. Now, the book of Proverbs, if you will, and chapter 29. Proverbs 29, and just want to pick up one little verse here. It's a pretty famous sort of a verse, verse 18. I think we've all heard it before. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. It reminds me of a little story many years ago. And by the way, Sister Elwyn Thomas asked me to convey her best wishes to everybody here tonight. This marks the anniversary of the establishment of the Perth Fellowship New Year's Eve. Elwyn's son-in-law, many years ago, I'd gone up, but when I was at university, which is like donkeys ago, Brother Phil Moritz had asked if I could come with him and just help out a little bit. He was doing some ploughing. They're actually ripping up some virgin land up near Dandaragan, up north of Perth. And I went up there and I had no idea what to do. But the day went okay, which was fine. I don't think I broke any equipment. But on the way back, we're driving these D6s around the place. But on the way back, we got into Phil's dad's car. And it's pitch black out there. There's no street lights. It's absolutely the middle of nowhere. And we're flying back, testing. We're flying back along the main drag there at about 110 kilometres an hour. And the headlights went out. 110 kilometres an hour, the headlights went out. And, I mean, I was sitting in the middle of a ute. There's his dad here, Phil there, me in the middle. And I just about panicked, you know, as you would. Pitch black, you can't see the road, you can't see anything. It's 110 k's. And I immediately thought, put the brakes on quickly. Stop. And Phil turned over and he said, this happens all the time. We dinged the ute some years ago and we sort of, you know, gerrymandered it all together, the wiring and what have you, it just happens regularly. And he stuck his head out the window to let his dad know where the road was. A little bit to the left, Dad, a little bit to the right, and jokingly said something like, where there is no vision, the people perish. Only I was the people. And it did certainly have a profound effect on me. I won't mention Brother Phil's other main driving feat. Who knows the underpass, the Subiaco underpass, as you go on towards the showgrounds? Who remembers that? Yeah, okay. You know the tyre marks that are really high up on the right-hand side as you go under that? Anyway, all right. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I guess what it made me think about a little bit was this year, tomorrow, it becomes 2020. And it just sort of struck me. It's kind of I'm taking advantage, obviously, of something. It's a little bit cute. But this year, I'd like to all think about Vision 2020. Because 2020 is, of course, an expression used amongst the ophthalmologists and optometrists and so forth, and it describes a certain standard of clarity of vision, 2020 vision. I never knew what it was until I went to a doctor, you know, what it was, but he explained what it was, and I wrote it all down so you'd get it. Some of you may know what it means. 2020 vision is the term used to express normal visual acuity, that is the clarity or the sharpness of vision, measured at a distance of 20 feet. So 20 feet is, you know, maybe sort of meter David away, a bit further perhaps, 20 feet. That, for example, 20/20 vision means at 20 feet you can see perfectly when they put the chart up. The reason they pick 20 feet is because that's the point at which your eye doesn't need to do a whole lot of adjusting of its own, the lens and so forth. So, for example, I think they said at one stage I had 20/40 vision, I thought, that sounds good, 20/40. That's bad. It means your vision's getting worse. It means can see something at 20 feet that someone else has got good vision can see at 40 feet or 20, 100 and so on. And it's only about 35% of the population that have 20/20 vision, by the way, so it's not like it's the, in that sense, the standard. But what it reminds me of, in 2020, I'd like all of us to have the vision. And all the people said, what is it all about? What is our function? What is our role? So much in life, of course, are crowds in on us. I spoke a week and a half ago about the importance of just recentering when you're at camp. So much sort of, takes up our time, takes up our energy. You know, we're bogged down, of course, our jobs and making money, you know, perhaps our house, our car, our kids, the family, all that sort of stuff. Maybe you've got plans for 2020. Maybe in 2020 you think, 2020, I'm going to get a girlfriend or a boyfriend or something or other, or build a house or get a new job or whatever it happens to be. Start my own business. But I'd like you to think of 2020 in the Lord's terms, because without a vision, the people perish. Unless we understand what our target is, what we're trying to achieve, then we won't actually get very far. A little like my story about being on the road at 110 kilometres an hour with the headlights going off and on and off and on. That'll be perhaps a little bit inimical to your life. You've got to be very careful that we know what the vision is. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I love the way Jesus said in the Gospels there, he said, consider the ravens. Do you remember that verse? Consider the ravens. Anything like ravens, whatever, crows, similar sort of creature. And consider the ravens. And he pointed out that ravens don't build barns. They don't plow. He talked about how they don't reap the harvest. Ravens don't do any of that sort of stuff. They just get up in the morning, go out, just eat a whole bunch of stuff that they like to eat, then go home at night, wherever they go home to. And Jesus is trying to point out to us, so much of our life is consumed by all the stuff around about us. And Jesus is trying to point us to, think about the ravens. You never ever saw a raven sitting in the graduation class for the university, you know, Curtin University or something or other. You know, you never ever saw a raven on the train on the way home, perhaps, you know, reading a newspaper while off to work or something. You never saw one. Consider the ravens where you have not seen them. You have never seen a raven stressing over his tax bill or perhaps, you know, 100 different things. And Jesus' commandment to us is consider the ravens. It just all happens. The Lord makes it work. And whereas we as poor human beings, I mean, all of us, our natural tendency, of course, is to, want to plan and organize and work, you know, nothing wrong with working hard, but sometimes a little too hard. And the Lord's saying, would you please just consider the ravens for a moment? And in 2020, let's all have a nice, clear vision about how it all works together. Romans chapter 12, if you will. There's so many things, of course, we could talk about in our vision. At the heart of it are two simple, simple principles. Jesus, of course, has given us instruction to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our job is to preach the gospel. That's our fundamental role here on earth. That's what God expects us to do. He talks about serving the Lord and so on. Our second big job is to help other saints stay saved, to help as many get saved as possible, and then to help them stay saved. In 2020, refocus and think about those things. In Romans chapter 12, we see a great little list of things Paul gives us, which I just love, and they're just fantastic little, a bit of a potpourri of things that are worth targeting, focusing on. He goes in verse 8 to say, he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Whatever your role or ministry or whatever you apply yourself into the Lord, you're given a list of instructions here, all the different things. If you're ruling, for example, do so with diligence. We say to the house leaders, the area leaders, the pastors, the young people's leaders and so on, do it with diligence, whatever you're doing. Our job, we're told elsewhere, is to keep our eye on the flock, to care for the saints. We're told here in verse 11, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, he that exhorts on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. We're told over and over in the New Testament that love is so critical. We're told that love will help us to overcome all of our difficulties. It'll help us to overcome our sense of perhaps, being hard done by. You know, the complexities of a group of very, very different people all merging together and working as a body. It says you're all one body in Christ. It does take, if you've got a car engine or something or other, we know you've got to have oil in there to keep everything harmoniously friction-free. Otherwise, of course, you end up with it all grinding to a halt and eventually becoming quite a mess. In the church, it's the love of the saints. Keep your finger there, but turn with me over to the book of Matthew just for a moment. Luke chapter 6, I beg your pardon, wrong book. Luke chapter 6. If I've got time, I'll use Matthew a little later on. But Luke chapter 6, and we're still talking about a vision. In verse 41, Jesus tells us here, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. Seems a little unchristian, doesn't it? Jesus calling us hypocrites from time to time. Thou hypocrite, he says, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. In 2020, let's have a nice clear focus on loving the brethren, not being judgmental, not being critical, not holding grudges and so forth. This particular one here is describing how to improve your vision, your optics in 2020. One great way to improve your optics is not to be critical, not to be judgmental, swallow stuff that happens to you in the Lord. Just overlook it. It says, brotherly love. It says, have fervent charity amongst yourselves, because love shall cover a multitude of sins. That will help to clear your vision. I was going to go through some others there. Over in Revelation, it talks about how the Lord offers eye salve for our eyes so that we might see. He describes the importance of focusing on his kingdom. We know that famous story of hot and cold and lukewarm and all that sort of stuff. Part of the solution is eye salve that we might see. The revelation from God that we can see. Right back to Romans chapter 12 again. Because it's just got such a great little synopsis here of great exhortations. In verse 9, let love be without dissimulation or without prejudice, without having favourites, without trickery. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Evil stuff, bad stuff, stuff that's no good for you, shun it. And stuff that is good for you, cling to it. Cling to getting to meetings, cling to prayer time, cling to evangelism and so on, cling to prayer and fast days. Sometimes people hear the program for the prayer and fast days and they say, okay, I better be away February the 18th, May the 22nd, August the 11th, and November the 14th. You know, don't do that. Be there. And all the people said, it is just so surprising. Sometimes when people hear the announcements for something or other, you know, maybe an outreach or something or other, you can almost see them, you know, just switching to zero, you know, winding right down. Don't be like that. Throw yourself in. The principle in the Bible is to be in the center of where the action is. And in so doing, your vision will be nice and strong. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Kindly affection. We're getting back to that same principle of just being incredibly generous towards each other with our the fact that we overlook failings, we overlook faults. Put your hand up here if you have absolutely no faults. Yeah. Amy said Zach can put his hand up. Isn't love blind? Yes, reminds me of that old story where the minister says, put your hand up if you've never made a mistake, expecting nobody to do so. And the little old lady in the back row is looking around, and then a man in front of her puts his hand up gingerly, and the minister says, what do you mean you have no faults? And he says, well, it's not for me. I'm putting my hand up on behalf of my wife's first husband. We all have faults. If you didn't have faults, Jesus didn't need to die. He didn't need to die. We could have just gone straight to heaven, faultless, fantastic. We all have faults, and that's why the Bible's saying to us, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. In verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Great little snapshots of Vision 2020. Not slothful in business. God couldn't care less about your personal, you know, work situation in that sense. And he wants to help you, but that's not what he's talking about here. Business is the Lord's business. We're in the business of saving souls. We're in the business of helping people meet the Lord in the air. We're in the business of caring for folk and ministering to them and nurturing them. Not slothful in business, God's business. He says, fervent in spirit. I just love that. The word fervent there in the Greek is the word for boiling. It means boiling, like hot water. He says, I want you to be boiling in the spirit. Make 2020 a year for be boiling in the spirit. And all the people said. Fervent in spirit. He goes on, he says, serving the Lord. What's it all about? Sometimes in life, you know, as human beings, we can't help but sort of think, well, I think I'm the center of the universe. I'm the center of everything. It's all about me. It's all about what I think and what I stand for and what I want and what I do. And the Lord there in heaven is saying, actually, it's not. It's about him. He's the center of everything. It says he did all things for his own pleasure. He made everything for his own pleasure. He is the center. We're just so happy that he chose us to be in his family. And now he tells us, that's right, you're here to serve the Lord. Elsewhere we're told not to please ourselves, to serve the Lord. He goes on and he says, rejoicing in hope, or rejoicing in the hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, given, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute, bless and curse not. Lots of great material there that the Lord provides. Matthew chapter 6, if you will. Matthew chapter 6, just to finish up on. I had some other things, but that we'll hold for another time. Matthew chapter 6. The reason I like this little one here, in verse 19, we'll start off. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. Just stop there. Don't bother. Why bother? Our society definitely inculcates this idea that success equals how much money you've got, how many possessions you've got, you know, what sort of car you drive, what sort of job you have, and so on. And the Lord says, don't lay up treasure on earth. Why? Where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. For where neither moth nor rust is corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, what you put your energy into will determine where you're going to be forever and ever. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And I guess perhaps I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but what Jesus is basically saying is be one-eyed for the Lord. And all the people said, if thine eye be single, one-eyed. Now, don't get me wrong, we've got our lives, we've got our, you know, families and jobs and all that sort of stuff. But the principle here is, you know, what we're investing in, what we're determined to see through. Jesus may come back in 2020. I don't know, he may not. But our job clearly is to be one-eyed for the Lord. He goes on, and I'm not going to read all of this, but perhaps just one or two verses. In verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon means riches or wealth or just the worldly things around about you. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, neither yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the body more than meat and the body than raiment? Let's all be one-eyed for the Lord as we share 2020 vision in 2020. And all the people said, amen.